Nice.
Let's try this again. Here we go. We're back, Rick. Not the smoothest beginning ever, but the Asylum Fantasy Football Podcast is back at asylumfantasyfootball.com.
Yeah, you managed to butcher that up. Drop us a line. Tell us what you think of our technician at asylumfootball@gmail.com.
If you are a radio technician and are willing to work for free and move to Western Pennsylvania, hit us up on Twitter at asylumfootball.
Yes, indeed, and we thank everybody for joining us or listening whenever the occasion arises. We are going to do a little special show today. It's a little preseason boom or bust predictions.
Absolutely. Where your season is not won in the first round, it's won in the late rounds, and we're going to tell you what to look for there and who to avoid early on, So you can win your season finally. So before we get into it, I'm sorry, everybody. This is becoming a fairly common thing. But as you heard, if you heard the very beginning of the show, more technical issues. We had moved our iTunes feed, actually got the old one repaired, had trouble with the new one. So we're going back to the original iTunes feed. So assuming you haven't canceled that subscription, just go back to that one. That's the blog.asylumfantasyfootball.com. On iTunes, search for that one, subscribe to that, rate that 5 stars for us, please. The other one, the one that's marked The Asylum Fantasy Football Podcast, that one is done. Podbean, you stink. We are finished with them. So please, sorry, hopefully the last time. Go, if you check us out on iTunes, use the blog.asylumfantasyfootball.com feed.
Yeah, so whatever the case may be, either cancel the new subscription that you had just gotten from the other one, and redo it, or leave the old one because now it's okay.
Yeah, that one's A-okay. We can be searched there. So a couple more pieces of news. Rick has some special information on our 700th follower. Thank you to them. And one other thing. Go ahead with that, Rick.
Yeah, we are doing, we're going to do a big shout-out for number 700. And our 700th follower is at Gridiron Experts. So check them out on Twitter. They've got a great site. I saw them come up there, checked it out. You definitely want to take a look at those guys, at Gridiron Experts.
Let them know you heard about it on this show. Give them a follow. Maybe somebody we can work a relationship with, business relationship, of course.
Well, definitely, and we certainly appreciate them being the 700 follower and as well as the 699 ahead of them. And moving on, we have, as you know, we were running a little contest. We were giving a couple of free roll spots away to a fantasy football league. You know, it doesn't cost you anything. However, you could win some cash prizes.
Cash prizes.
The only stipulation is you had to like our Facebook page. And so once all that was done after yesterday, the man running it, Z Bull Smoke, as you know him on Twitter, we drew the winners. And the winners are I'm going to have to maybe spell some of this stuff out here.
Make sure you're not cursing.
No, yeah. It's at Illini Lax, Illinilax.
Ooh.
His name is Mike Striper.
He's in the money, Mr. Striper, and a lacrosse player.
And then we have at Bono Bills fan, Ryan Talbot.
Mr. Talbot also in the money. So there we go. Those two will be joining the Asylum in Z Bull Smokes. I believe it's the Toilet Bowl League, a 20-team man's league. So
that's right.
I assume Z Bull, our boy Zan, will be getting the information out to you fellas, and we'll get set up. I believe we're drafting the 25th, I think.
I think that's when it is, yes. So, and what you guys need to do, if you would, Ryan and Mike, drop us a line at asylumfootball@gmail.com, and just give us some of your email information and that kind of thing. We'll just be kind of Zan's safety net here to make sure that we got all the information correct, and we can send you the invite to the league so you can get in.
All right, so there we go. Hopefully this is the end of the house cleaning. Again, what's your iTunes feed? If you just go to our main page at asylumfantasyfootball.com, on the right-hand side, click on subscribe on iTunes. That'll get you to the right feed. So let's move fast. We have wasted 5 entire minutes on all this other stuff. Let's get into fantasy football.
It's very important.
Well, certainly.
It's not wasting it when it's quality time spent.
Quality time spent with us. Yeah, right.
Like that.
You're absolutely... All right, I got to compose myself after that line of bull. So,
Z-bull.
Or that Z-bull. Wow, you're on fire today, Rick.
Okay, let's move on here. Let's go to the headlines. I know you had a story you wanted to touch on real quick, and I actually was on the Right on Cue last night, and we hit it. So I want to hear what you think about Mr. Terrell Owens signing with the Seahawks.
Wow, I'll tell you what, big news seemed to come out of nowhere. Just one day you heard he was going to work out for him, sign under that one-year, $1 million deal right away. So the workout must have gone well. I believe they said he ran a 4.6 or a 4.5, some crazy 4-speed for a 38-year-old guy. Look, I don't know. Worth a late-round flyer? I would say certainly yes. I remember, Rick, you and I talking about this back in the spring. Didn't know where he was going to end up, where he was going to be in the league. But I took the stance, you know, this guy's a red zone monster. And I think the big point with Terrell Owens, his first year, anywhere he goes, always goes well. I know he's getting older. But hey, you're talking your 15th, 16th round, take a shot. Why wouldn't you go after this guy?
Yeah, the biggest thing is, of course, his fantasy impact or his impact on a regular NFL team certainly isn't what it used to be. So, yeah, he's expendable. He's not all that expensive. So, maybe a lot of the baggage he's bringing with him isn't all that significant. My biggest concern with him is you already got Marshawn Lynch in there. You got Braylon Edwards in there, and now you bring in him. I mean, you know, there's a bunch of loose cannons in there. You've already got an unsettled quarterback situation. Matt Flynn, a young guy, very little experience, probably going to have the starting job. You know, are these guys going to help Flynn, or are they going to hinder him? Yeah, and that's my biggest question. Late-round flyer, perhaps. I don't think it's a huge fantasy impact. Like to be, you know, sadly mistaken, but the guy's going to be 39 before the season's out. And, you know, in my recollection, I remember Jerry Rice and maybe Tim Brown. That's about the only two at that age that were really of any significance.
Yeah, I mean, no question about it. That's a good point. You are concerned with a young quarterback, inexperienced quarterback like Flynn coming into the situation, and you have Terrell Owens and Braylon Edwards in that same huddle. I think, you know, if we keep it to fantasy impact, no doubt, why wouldn't you take a flyer? I mean, this guy, he took the year off, and in 2010, a respectable year, 72 catches, over 900 yards, found the end zone 9 times. So if you can get that out of your fourth, fifth type of receiver, a guy you're not, you know, wasting a high pick on, I think it's certainly worth it. You never know. He obviously still runs well, that 40 time he put together. So not huge fantasy impact, and I don't see him really breaking out and winning you your league. But I think in a pinch, in a flex option, when you've got some injuries or you got half your squad on bye, you know, probably worth a guy carrying at the bottom of your bench.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to argue with that he may be worth a late-round flyer. So, you know, he certainly has a track record. And, you know, they're just, you know, don't have a lot of expectations. But, you know, you may be pleasantly surprised. It's not like you're really going to waste anything real high on him. You know, let's move on. I actually saw on, it was a Silver and Black Daily, how I happened to come across that, I'll never know. But Denarius Moore is going to miss most of training camp due to hamstring.
Yeah, that's interesting. You hate to see these guys dealing with, you know, we talked about a lot last week, I believe it was, talking about Andre Johnson and his early groin issues. You get these groins, you get these hamstrings, you know, they can hinder you all year, and to start it out like that, here's a guy you were looking at as a big upside guy, as a boom guy, being, if we stick with the theme of the show. But, you know, I guess one of those things, we say it all the time, you got to monitor this situation, see where he is. I don't like him missing camp. you know, he's going to miss most of camp. We're only about a week or so in. I'm more concerned. My guy out there in Oakland being Darius Heyward-Bey, taking the deep threat away of Denarius Moore, what's that mean for Heyward-Bey?
That's true, and there's a lot of question marks around Heyward-Bey to start with. Is he going to break through? You know, is Moore going to break through? That was the, I think they're both third-year receivers, and, you know, it's a pretty good little tandem potentially. And with Palmer, you know, another year under his belt, knowing the offense, I think they got a little chemistry going. You know, I like Moore a little better. You like Heyward-Bey a little better, but, you know, agreed with one of them out of there. You know, how does that affect the other guy? So, you know, we'll certainly have to watch that. I mean, look at Miles Austin last year, that hammy. I think he missed six games.
Yeah.
And they can be terrible.
Yeah, and he never truly recovered. He was in and out even once he got back. It just never, the year never materialized for him. This is a bad type of nagging injury for a guy to suffer, especially in the preseason.
Yes, no doubt about that. And, you know, final note on that, Dwayne Bowe said he's going to report by week one. I was tweeting about that earlier today. You know, yeah, maybe he'll report to week one, but that means no training camp. And that, to me, is not good.
Yeah, no question about it. You know, good news, I guess, overall, that he does intend to report. But I almost, if he's given himself that deadline, I'm not real familiar with their negotiations, if they've cut him off like the Steelers have with Wallace. But I tell you what, if he doesn't get into camp, by giving himself saying I'll be there week one means he basically has no intention of showing up for camp. And we've just seen it too many times over and over again. And we talked to Patrick Johnson about it several episodes back. These guys need camp. They need to learn the system. Even if he does make it back, if he's able to salvage the season, I got to say you're looking at least half the season lost just getting up to speed, plus any types of these nagging injuries. You know, it's one thing these guys can say they're staying in shape, but there's a big difference between working out in the gym and working on the field and getting yourself in football shape.
Oh, no doubt about that. And just getting in the rhythm of the whole offensive scheme, you know, working with players, you know, adjusting your route against the defense to get open, that kind of thing. You know, there's a lot of sharpness lost. And, you know, like you said, you know, talking to Patrick Johnson, there's these offensive coordinators are not sitting around all winter not doing anything. They've got a lot of different schemes, a lot of different terms, and a lot to learn. And you don't do that, you're not learning it. So, you know, ask Chad Johnson or Ocho Cinco, you know, going to New England.
Yeah.
He looked just totally lost over there. So, and I don't think Dwayne Bowe's in the same situation that way, but there's a lot of little nuances that you need to learn and pay attention to. And I don't know, it drops his stock to me.
Yeah, it puts, for me, I put more stock in it than most people. And I think a lot of people disagree with this, but it puts him, if he's not in camp, maybe by the end of this week, early next week, it puts him on the complete no-touch list for me. I don't want any parts of Dwayne Bowe.
Yeah, and it's a sad thing, too, because, you know, he's a WR1, I mean, to me. I mean, right now, ADP, six pick in the fifth round right now. So you're talking, you know, low-end first round, high-end second round wide receiver, you know, first wide receiver, second wide receiver. That's a valuable guy, you know, to have stock dropping.
Yeah, absolutely, but just somebody I'm not going to touch. So that's about it for the headlines. We can talk about Mike Wallace, Maurice Jones-Drew still holding out. Pretty much ditto what we just said about Dwayne Bowe as far as our thoughts there. So let's go on. Before we get to the booms and busts, we had a couple good questions on Twitter the last couple days, Rick, and I know you have one from our boy Z-Bull as well. Let's get to this one. We were talking to him. It's at J_Rowe. John Rowland asked a question, and we ended up going back and forth on this a little bit and sort of talked me off of my position. But his question is where he's in a 10-team dynasty PPR, and he's got Arian Foster and Jamaal Charles, which I love. He wants to know, should he try to trade Starks and LeSure to get their handcuffs, basically meaning, you know, I don't know, Hillis, I have a hard time considering a handcuff, so I don't think we were talking Hillis. So basically, Starks and LeSure for Ben Tate. My initial thought was, look, you know Starks is going to be starting if Foster would go down, but the Tate situation makes it completely different. Where do you land on that deal, Rick? First of all, I don't know if he can get that deal done, But, you know, even if he's got to give something, how much are you going to give up to get Ben Tate to back up Foster?
Yeah, I kind of got into that conversation a little bit late. I saw you guys had gone back for some, and apparently the guy looking for the trade has job at Best. I don't think Best is going to be playing. The guy needs a starting running back. I would hit the guy up with Starks for Tate straight up, to be honest with you, a starter for a backup. Now, if he doesn't go for that, I still think LeSure has some value. The question you got now for our Mr. Roland is Starks and LeSure, potentially you're trading two starters for one backup. Now, Foster stays healthy. He's okay. Charles he has. I'm sorry.
Name another running back.
No, but if Charles stays healthy, he should be okay. Then he would have Foster backed up. But then again, you know, do you trade two starters no matter what for a backup? And, you know, if Charles goes down, you're left with Tate and Foster.
Yeah.
That's not an even trade, you know what I'm saying, that way. And sometimes you don't really know how much playing time Tate is going to get. He had 900 yards last year. Now, is that an anomaly or is that going to be the norm? Let's bear in mind Andre Johnson was hurt. Let's bear in mind Matt Schaub was hurt. I think the offense is different this year.
Yeah, no question about it. So I think the question comes down to it, and we'll go right back to you on this, because you're a guy who not only carried a few years back Brown and Ricky Williams, but also a guy who at times started them. Do you see that type of situation panning out in Houston with Foster and Tate?
I think it's kind of going back to my point. I'm not sure. I'm a little more nervous about it this year because I think the passing game is going to be more, of course, maybe not. You see, that's the thing you have to pay attention to. Andre Johnson's already hurt right now with that pulled groin. If he stays healthy, I think they're throwing more, and maybe Tate doesn't get as many looks. That's my biggest thing is Tate going to be worth it this year? I'm not sure yet. I think he's a very valuable handcuff, but to give up, you know Starks is going to be starting, even though he's got some struggles in camp already this year. You know, I don't know if Green's ready to step up. Grant's gone, so I don't know. I might do that for one of them. I don't know if I'd do it for two.
Yeah, and I think here's my thought in why, you know, my initial response was no, and more of the reason I bring up this question, I don't know about you, Rick, I'm not a big handcuff guy. There's guys out there who you know are going to get playing time, who are going to be starting, who are going to be in the offensive rhythm that you can pick up late and stash away, and I'd rather plug them in than your average backup, some guy you've never heard of backing up your, you know, rather than how long are you going to carry a Deion Lewis behind Shady McCoy, I think is the point. And you don't know what he's going to do when he gets in. You know, sometimes these guys break out. Other times you get the Jackie Battle kind of situation they had in Kansas City. You know, I hate to talk smack on my boy, but, you know, look, he had that one or two games, and he was ostensibly useless after that last year. You know, Ben takes a different type of situation. I don't buy into James Starks at all. He's not going to get enough carries if that is his job 100%. And all reports out of camp are he's being pushed. He's not looking good. Just not the kind. So, look, if you can give him up to somebody in desperate running back need, and as far as LeSure goes, I don't know what you think, Rick. To me, he's a throwaway guy. There's three. Who knows? Kevin Smith could emerge as this job. Cedric Benson likely gets signed and wins that job. I think he's a throwaway. If he has any value, it's now before you know how it's all going to work out. Going to serve a suspension early in the year. I'd prefer if you can get Starks for Tate straight up, I think I'd do it, being the players involved with Starks. I don't know what Tate's value is going to be. I think what I do know, Foster's likely to miss two or three games or miss parts of games. I don't see him in the Ronnie Brown, Ricky Williams situation that you used with some success a few years back. Because I think if Foster's rolling and he's healthy, I agree. I don't think Tate's going to see the carries he saw last year. And really, the bulk of those numbers he put up were when Foster was out and missing partial games, which Foster did a lot of. When Foster was healthy and rolling, Ben Tate didn't see the field very much.
No, that's a good point. And and I'm like you. You look at some of these handcuffs. Ben Tate is the exception, not the rule, a la Bernard Scott, Ringer from Tennessee. You can go on and on. Like you said, the battle in McClusters from Kansas City, just, you know, no way could they match anything Charles is putting up there. So most of your handcuffs are not going to supplant the starter. But Ben Tate is one of those kind of guys. They take Foster out, throw Tate in, and it's almost like, yeah, way to go, Foster. Oh, wait a minute, that's Ben Tate.
Yeah, very, very little drop-off, it seemed. Maybe more about the offensive scheme. So I'm with you, definitely, and I think we worked this out with J_Rowe on Twitter yesterday. Try to make the deal straight up for Starks. LeSure, tread with caution, but I think if you're going to carry a handcuff, if you even want to call him a handcuff, it's Ben Tate.
Definitely. So, that's the best advice that we can give you. I think Ben Tate's certainly worth it. But don't give up the farm initially. You know, try to get everything for the best price. I mean, like you say, LeSure's a throwaway, but if you can stash him on your bench, he may come in useful somewhere along the line.
Yeah, you just never know. Somebody's going to emerge with that job, and I just have no faith in who it is and if that person's even on that roster currently.
Exactly. All right, well, let's move on. We decided to sit down and hash out a little potential booms and busts and before the season even started. So that's what we're going to try to cover. What we're going to do is kind of throw together a little fantasy boom lineup and a little fantasy bust lineup.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So we'll start with the booms. These are the guys you're looking for, the sleepers, the guys you can get value out of. We'll just go ahead and give you a quarterback or two, a couple backs, a couple receivers, a couple tight ends. Don't ask us about kickers and defenses. Nobody cares. So, Rick, let's start it off the bat. Who is going to be your boom quarterback in 2012?
I think my boom quarterback, and of course, let's clarify a little bit, the booms are not necessarily, you know, the big numbers. Everybody knows Aaron Rodgers is going to be a great quarterback. Tom Brady's going to be throwing up the big numbers. It's where you can get some of these quarterbacks in the draft and then what they produce for you during the season. You know, one of the big boom values. And mine is going to be Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
Right now, his current ADP is eighth round. I figure if you can grab Jay Cutler in the eighth round with Brandon Marshall there, Forte signed, I'm looking easily 4,500 yards out of Cutler this year. And I think he's going to be a great value from the eighth round.
Oh, no question about it, Rick. You know how much I hate to agree with you, but that's the perfect one. I was actually in an auction draft on Sunday, I believe it was, after all the quarterbacks were gone, and we saw some high numbers, a $200 limit, $45, $50, $55 for these top three quarterbacks. Jay Cutler went for $4, if I'm not mistaken. It was $3 or $4, just no interest in him. Bringing in Brandon Marshall, bringing in the young rookie. These guys have some weapons. When Cutler is happy and healthy, he is easily one of the strongest arm quarterbacks in the NFL. When he's comfortable, when he's happy, you've seen it for stretches of games where he's top 10 talent, top 5 talent fantasy-wise at some points. And this year, bringing in Brandon Marshall, I think it works good for both of them. You remember the success they had in Denver. And this is a guy, if you miss out on those early guys and you're loading up on those mid-range running backs and quarterbacks, this is a guy you can pick up really late. I don't remember, what did you say, the eighth round for his ADP?
Yeah, right now he is currently the first pick. I believe it's the first pick. I have to check real quick here, but
we'll go with that. But I'll tell you, it's an absolute steal.
Yeah. First pick, eighth round. So there you have it.
So a total steal. If you can get this guy, I think you're getting, you know, you're drafting your Peyton Mannings in the fifth round, fourth round, fifth round. We'll see how the preseason goes. I see his value only going up. You see at some point Stafford going in the early second round, sometimes even the late first round. If you can pick up your number one quarterback, who I'm not going to promise you, but certainly capable of putting up top 5 to 10 quarterback numbers in the eighth round, you're way ahead. So that's a great boom.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Let's bear in mind, you know, Brandon Marshall the last 2 years in Miami put up 81 catches and 86 catches. He's over 1,000 yards. both years, and you're talking Matt Moore throwing to him. But let's not forget the 3 years before that in Denver, he had over 100 catches 3 years running. You know, 10 touchdowns, 7 touchdowns. You know, I love Jay Cutler. I like the Bears offensively this year.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a total change. So an absolutely good one. I actually had the same one, so we'll stick with. We'll try to keep one official boom roster for the Asylum, so we'll definitely go with Jay Cutler there. I'll go with the first running back. We're going to give you two. The first one I have, and I hope against hope I'm not putting too much stock into what I saw in the Hall of Fame game. Yeah, I know it is what it is with the Hall of Fame game. But one guy you keep forgetting about, you're hearing about Ingram. Obviously, you're hearing about Sproles. One name you're not hearing, I've seen gone on undrafted in some cases, is Pierre Thomas. I think still looks to me like he's going to get those number one running back carries, going to have a place in that offense. And I think Pierre Thomas could be a really late rounder, an undrafted steal that could help you get through bye weeks and injuries.
Yeah, you know, that's a good pick. They're overloaded with running backs right now. Let's face it. You got Sproles, Thomas that you mentioned, Ingram. You got Chris Ivory, who looked pretty good in the Hall of Fame game. You got this Banyard and Cadet. I can't imagine them keeping all six of these running backs. And let's face it. Somebody's going to pick up a decent running back from this team. But, Thomas isn't going anywhere. He's got good hands. He's got good speed. He got good power. He's almost a combination of Ingram and Sproles, if you think about it. That he hadn't been able to stay healthy, which has been his biggest drawback. But, yeah, I mean, nobody pays any attention to him. And, he's going to be a great steal. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and I mean, the biggest question mark with him is going to be carries. If you look at the last few games of last year, 8 carries, 9, 5, 8. I would hope this would go up. You don't know Ingram, Sproles, how it's going to all shake out. But with those low attempt numbers, this guy's averaging 5, 6, 8 yards a carry at different spots in the year. So, again, not going to be an every-week starter. That's not what we're giving you. We're not going to tell you that Shady McCoy is going to be a boom. You know that. These are guys, if you're getting late in your draft or you're searching your waiver wire, I think are going to have some value, especially if Ingram, it's only been 1 year, but even going back to college, a little issue staying healthy. I think I see him, they're working Sproles out in the slot. They want to get him the ball in space. I think for the by and large, when they run the ball, I think it's going to be Pierre Thomas's ball.
Yeah, that's total agreement there. I think that's a good pick. I'm not sure you'll get the value of him early on, but I think he's going to be steady. I think. But I think New Orleans has this. Obviously, it's a balanced offense, and you might as well count on him with his 8-9 carries a game. But he's going to have some pass catch, especially in PPR. I think is what Rick's referring to a lot too. I mean, that's going to help you out with the value.
No question about it. So we'll move on, Rick. Let's give him a second running back to stash at the bottom of that bench.
Okay. Right now, current ADP, 10th pick in the 11th round. They basically already handed the job over, and LeGarrette Blount is basically forgotten about in Tampa Bay. And I think that's a mistake. And if you can grab this guy, the 10th pick in the 11th round, I think you're going to be a happy camper. I think he's going to respond well to the no-nonsense coach. Shiano is not going to put up with his crap. They're not going to be sending people to his hotel room or his house to pick him up to come to meetings and practice. He's either going to be there or he's going to be out. I think he's already gotten the message. He's been on time on camp, apparently doing well. If you can get him in the 11th round, I think that's going to be a steal.
Oh, I think no question about it, a great pickup. This is a debate we've had I don't know how many times on the show throughout the spring and summer. Everybody just wants to hand it off to Martin. No question about it. It's just said and done. And really, Rick, we can give all the statistics. That's what doesn't sit well with me. How many times have we seen this? We saw it with Ryan Williams last year in Arizona, although that came down to injury. so many players. Daniel Thomas down in Miami was the big example last year. The hotshot rookie comes in. We've all declared him as the number one fantasy guy. Hell, go back to Beanie Wells a few years ago in Arizona, Ryan Matthews. By and large, a lot of times, everybody's looking for the next Adrian Peterson, and that rookie year is going to come in, take over. I'm with you. Blunt's done it. You know, look, he only had 781 yards last year, but to your point, he only touched the ball 184 times. 4 yards a carry, still managed to find the end zone 5 times. You know, now they seem to have worked Martin into the number one running back slot. I think at worst you're looking at an RBBC there, and I think Blunt with that value. Look, if you want Doug Martin, you're taking him in the third or fourth round, and he just keeps creeping up further. If you wait till the 11th round, grab LeGarrette Blunt, a fantastic bye week replacement, and a guy that could be an every week start in a three running back league or in an emergency flex type of situation.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I mean, Doug Martin's not Barry Sanders. And, you know, you have to draft rookies, you know, with a lot of caution, I think. And a lot of people are really throwing Trent Richardson, you know, top 10 running back right now. And I'm not buying into that yet. So, you know, why is Martin up there? And, you know, LeGarrette Blunt, like you said, he's done it. He's been there. And, you know, I just think he's a steal. And going back to your point with Martin, why is he creeping up? I'm trying to figure out. I haven't heard anything out of camp that he's just fabulous or any of that kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? And I just, until he really proves himself and takes that job, I don't know, it's mystifying to me.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I just... You know, look, the kid's got a lot of talent coming in there. Blunt definitely coming off a down year. I think that's where the thought comes in. You got a hot shot rookie. Look, they did trade up to get him, so they're going to be looking to get him the ball. But in the end, it's about wins and losses, and I think you're going to see LeGarrette Blunt more often than not win the carries, especially when they matter most.
That's definitely true. So let's move on to wide receivers, and I believe you are going to give us the first one.
All right, I'll start it out. Everyone knows the Kenny Britt situation as we've seen this year. My biggest boom at wide receiver, he did it a little bit last year in Britt's absence. I love Nate Washington going into 2012.
Yeah, I can see why. There's no doubt about that. He really proved himself. Threw up some good stats. And, you know, it looks like Britt's going to be missing in action yet again. So it the weight of the number one receiver goes right back on Nate's shoulders again. And I think he's going to be a good value.
Yeah, and I mean, I think he handled it well. This is what I like. We spent a lot of time when we talked with Ali Fontana on Friday about how the Hakeem Nicks injury is going to affect Victor Cruz, how the Mike Wallace absence is going to affect Antonio Brown. My mind just went blank there for a minute. Here's a guy in Nate Washington who had to take over that number one role when Kenny Britt went down. I believe it was in week 3 last year. Managed to put up 74 catches for over 1,000 yards, found the end zone 7 times. Here's a kid. He's done it. He's a rookie. I keep calling him a kid. He's a rookie. He's been around a while. Still fast, can stretch the field, got great hands, made some ridiculous catches down, especially in the red zone last year. I love what they're doing in Tennessee. Word came out today or last night that they're going to look to run more of a run-and-shoot style offense. I think Nate Washington is the kind of guy who fits well into that. And here's a guy, again, going to be drafted really late, going to be a great value, and is, I think, unquestionably, unless Britt manages to avoid a suspension early on, I believe he's meeting with Roger Goodell today to see what happens there. I guess the best Britt can hope for is they wait for the court case to pan out, which they often do. But if Britt misses any time, Nate Washington's going to take that job, and unlike some of these other guys, prove he can handle it without having that speedster on the other side.
Yeah, and I can't see Britt not having some sort of suspension. You know, let's bear in mind that Nate Burleson has never been really prolific touchdown scorer. He did have the 1 year back in 07. He scored 11 for Seattle. Never over 6 since then. He's not a big presence in the end zone.
We're talking about Nate Washington, not Nate Burleson, Rick.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, but no, but still, he's, you know, it's the same. What did I say, Burleson?
Yeah, and then you talked about his Seattle statistics.
Yeah.
Nate Washington never played there either.
Exactly. Yes, I'm looking at the wrong guy. I'm sorry.
Thank God we're doing this in the afternoon, huh?
Oh, no doubt. Well, I pull up stats, you know, and you start doing Nates, and you don't pay attention. That's what happens, you know.
Yeah, Nate Burleson, we'll put him on the bus list, so we'll keep him relevant. So let's go one more. Let's get the second wide receiver that's going to lead everyone to victory.
I kind of like Lance Moore in New Orleans. Meacham's out of there. Devery Henderson's really no threat. I like Lance Moore right now. You can get him in the late 10th round. And with a prolific offense, you know, I think he's going to be a good value.
Yeah, I think no question about it. He's a perfect candidate for this type of list because he's not a guy you're going to be able to start every week. And it's the frustrating part. Fantasy-wise, about that New Orleans offense, one of the great things about the Saints offense, each week they're going to find that matchup, they're going to key in on it, and somebody's going to tear you apart. Most week it's going to be Marquise Colson. Lance Moore has done it before, he'll do it again. Only 52 grabs for 627 yards last week, but did manage to find the end zone 8 times. You look at his splits, he's a 5-7 catch a week guy on his good weeks, but can average 15, 18 yards a catch. So if you've got it, this is a guy you want on your bench. He's going to be healthy. He's going to be there. Probably looking like the number 2 wide receiver in New Orleans this year. If you have him in there, if you're playing him on the right week, and that's a gamble, if you're playing him in the right week, the kind of guy that can win you a week, put you over the hump, and may actually outscore the guy you've replaced him with. Problem is, he's not going to do it consistently, but in a pinch, this is the kind of guy you want to have.
Yes, indeed. There's no doubt about that. And let's get back to Nate Washington.
Washington, yeah.
That's the real Nate that I'm supposed to be looking at here. Yeah. I guess the only question is, if Britt's in there, you know, he's still going to be the number 2. I mean, he had over 1,000 yards last year, and of course that was without Britt. But he's never had over 50 receptions before that. You know, I guess my question is, you know, if Britt comes back, is he still going to be, you know, productive? I mean, how do you? What's your take on that?
And that's a tough situation. Basically, I made that decision based on Britt not playing or missing some time. I have to believe if Britt's healthy, unsuspended, not in prison and playing, Washington, not a lot of value. You're going to have to see if they truly run this run and shoot they're threatening to run. Could have some value there. Not really the possession guy you would have on the other side of the superstar like Kenny Britt. I think really only value, I would say worth drafting, worth stashing away. Britt will get arrested again or will get injured at some point. Washington will have his value. You just may not realize it early.
Yeah, that's true. He's a horrible story. We talked about him before, just a terrible waste of talent. But, you know, forget that. He's gone. Washington's going to take over, and you can probably get him for next to nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. Really late round pick. I believe he went for $1 in that auction league we've been talking about last week. So tremendous value there, stashed away at the end of your bench. I believe he will have his usefulness at some point.
Okay, now let's see. That brings us to the boom tight end.
Yeah, that this one was a little tougher. I'll go first. Maybe we'll throw a couple out. Don't have a lot of statistics, a lot of numbers to back it up. Just a gut feeling. Here's a guy we've talked about since his rookie year. It's going to be his year. I think finally, as that offense goes, I like what the Cincinnati Bengals are doing, and I just have a feeling Jermaine Gresham is finally going to emerge as a top-end type of, a top 12 type of fantasy tight end this year.
Yeah, he's shown a lot of promise, and actually I took him last year thinking he was going to emerge. He just never really quite caught on. Targeted 92 times last year. You know, he did have the 56 grabs and 6 touchdowns, but it just, you know, he's right on the cusp of being one of the, you know, the top tight ends. And I think he's going to fly under the radar, so it is a pretty good pick. You can get him for very good value.
No question about it. So why don't we throw one more out? Who'd you have down, Rick? We'll give another tight end since there wasn't a lot of brilliant analysis on Jermaine Gresham's statistics.
No, there's just not. And here's one here, probably not really flying under the radar with all the hoopla with Peyton Manning and everything, but Jacob Tammy at the Broncos. you know, he had 67 catches a couple years ago when Clark was hurt in Indianapolis, you know, more or less disappeared last year. Now he's reunited with Manning. And, you know, I don't see why he can't have 60 to 70 catches easily this year with Manning at the helm. And right now you can get him, you know, about the 10th pick in the 8th round, which is still a little high. But I think with the way people are going after Gronkowski and some of these other guys, you know, you can get some good value with wide receivers or running backs way up there and still pick up a pretty good one down here in the 8th round.
Yeah, unquestionably, in a year where two tight ends are going in the late first, early second round, you're looking for that later on value, and Tammy's an excellent example. You know, again, it's tied directly to Peyton Manning, and ask Dallas Clark. You know, Peyton Manning built Dallas Clark his house and bought him his cars and sent his children to school. Peyton Manning uses the tight end. He's a useful part of any – the tight end's a useful part of any – Peyton Manning-led offense. He's going to check down, going to find the end zone a ton of times. With the, you know, they've worked together already. I think no question about it, you're going to get number one tight end value much later than spending those early round picks.
Yes, indeed. And another guy to watch, probably not as low on the radar as some of these other ones, but surprising, I was tweeting, I don't know when, a few days ago, you know, last 2 years, Jason Witten is the leading reception receiver, you know, for tight ends. But number two was Brandon Pettigrew, which, you know, is a little surprising. He's had 154 receptions in the last 2 years, and that's sneaky good there.
Yeah, there's a guy flying way under the radar, and again, you can get that type of value in that type of offense, a high-powered, throwing the ball 40 to 55 times a game, in the much lower than, again, having to spend those. That's what I keep coming back to, people drafting Gronkowski, drafting Graham, and in some cases Hernandez in the first two or three rounds. If you can wait till the sixth or seventh and get these guys, you're getting, I won't say comparable value necessarily, but respectable value to go along with the other more traditionally strong positions you can stash at that at that point in the draft.
Yes, indeed. So there you have it. That's the our boom starting lineup in the pre. And I don't know what Rick's doing over there, backing something to death.
I was making a boom sound. So, so let's move on. Quick away, keep moving here, keep the show moving on. Let's get to the bus. These are the guys you're going to draft too early and are going to make your season a nightmare. I'm going to kick it off with our first bust at the quarterback position. Here's a guy. You think I would have learned last year, Rick, but I'm going back to the well. They brought in Mike Tolbert. They've got all their running backs signed. I think they're trying to get him away from running the ball, which is where all his value came from. And I don't think this passing statistics are going to be anywhere near what you saw last year. I am once again avoiding Cam Newton this season.
So that means he'll throw for 4,900 yards and 38 touchdowns.
Without question.
Yeah, there's been a lot of speculation. They don't want him running like that. And, you know, take a chance of getting hurt. Tolbert was brought in for a reason. And, you know, like Ali Fontana said, it's kind of interesting using him as a tight end perhaps. And so, but he's still going to get some goal line carries, I think. They're not going to want Cam Newton doing that kind of rushing around and trying to score the touchdowns that way. He's going to be a short-lived quarterback if he keeps doing that. And I don't know. I'm not convinced I think his passing numbers will go up, but his rushing and touchdown totals will go down. So I'm going to tend to agree with you.
Yeah, and I think that's what it is. Maybe I worry a little bit of a sophomore slump. Look, this guy did throw for 300 yards how many times, hit 400 a time or two as well. Certainly a viable and a good fantasy quarterback. Where I'm coming from is this is a guy you're seeing going right after those big three in some cases, if not right after Stafford. I think there's going to be better, more traditional passers, or at least less risk passers, to go back to your Jay Cutler in the boom category, that are going to be more consistent, that I trust a little more. If you take all these huge rushing statistics away from Cam Newton, which he's still going to have his value, but I agree with you. We said it over and over again. We've had a lot of people come on the show and say the same thing. They don't want him running the ball like he did last year. His career just isn't going to last. So I think, you know, in terms of would I have him as my starting quarterback on the team? Absolutely, but not at that early second round price tag that I'm going to have to pay for him.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And under the same premise, my bus quarterback is going to be Mike Vick. Right now, he's currently about second pick in the fourth round. And on the ADP that I'm looking at that I printed off today, and it's amazing to me that he is about a round and a half ahead of Eli Manning. He's a round over Romo, Peyton Manning, Phillip Rivers, Matt Ryan are over two rounds behind him. And he has injury potential. His accuracy isn't that great. And if you can get Matt Ryan in the sixth pick in the sixth round, why would you pick Mike Vick in second pick in the fourth round?
Yeah.
And that scares me.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Here's a problem with Mike Vick, and here's why he's going as early as he has. This guy, when he gets it right, when he gets it going, go back to 2 years ago where he won 80% of fantasy players in the league because they got him off the waiver wire. They drafted him late so they could be funny with him coming right out of jail and just went nuts. And then last year he takes too many hits or they find a way to keep him in the pocket and he's just not there. You know, you want to talk about the ultimate high risk, high reward. That's Mike Vick. You don't know who you're going to get, not only year to year, week to week. And it's a problem I'm just not willing to take on. I'm scared of it. You know, here's another one could prove us wrong, unquestionably. But I think for me, if I'm playing it safe, some of the names you put out there that you can get two and three rounds after, I'm not taking a chance on Mike Vick. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, and you know his interception total went from 6 in 2010 up to 14 last year. And, you know, he played 12 games in 2010. He played 13 games in 2011. So you know he's going to miss three or four games. I mean, that's just a given. So, I mean, I just can't see him as a good value in that situation. So why don't you go with the first bust running back?
All right, Rick, I'm going to surprise you with this one. I've surprised myself with this one, and it breaks my heart to do it. But I've been doing some research, and I know that's rare for me. I usually leave that to you, and I just spit into the microphone for an hour every week, or 2 hours a week now. But in doing a little research and seeing how these things pan out, my bust running back for this season, sadly, is going to be Jamaal Charles. And let me tell you why. Doing a little research, the guys the year following these major knee injuries, these major knee constructions, I've discovered the rule of 2 years. It's the second year back that these guys go off. I think the perfect example, Edgerrin James blew out his knee or ran for 1,700 yards in the year 2000. 2001 blew out his knee. Come back in 2002, only 989 yards and three touchdowns. 2003, after a full year of 2 years recovered, came back with 1,300 yards and 11 touchdowns. Ronnie Brown, a similar situation. We can go all the way back to Jamaal Lewis, you know, blew his knee out in 2001, came back, was still a respectable 1,300 yards and seven touchdowns the first year back. But the second year back in 2003 was the year he runs for 2,066 yards and 14 touchdowns. There's just too much evidence out there where Charles, even if he swings the way of Jamaal Lewis, could have a respectable year this year. But that, you know, we've been ranking him 5, 6, 7, somewhere in that range. I think it's one more year. It's going to be 2013 before he puts up those numbers.
Let me ask you one quick question just to see, to put it in perspective. Adrian Peterson got hurt when? Week 15 or 16, I believe, last year, correct?
Exactly.
So this is his first year back, you know, from that devastating knee injury. Jamaal Charles was injured, I think, in the first game, if I'm not mistaken.
Second.
Maybe the second, I can't remember.
Yeah, he's about a full year out.
You know, doesn't help your state of mind as far as evaluating that? I mean, I'm just trying to, you know, is this going to stay, you know, this trend stay in your mind with a guy that's been, you know, 4 months ahead of, say, Adrian Peterson?
Yeah, and that's the interesting part. But if you look at these numbers, it's they've basically, and I don't know at what point these guys got injured in the season before. In the next season, they played the full year, played well, just didn't have the big breakout. And that's what's sticking in my mind. Here's a guy I'd been kicking around, Charles, thinking I'm going to steal him as my number one running back late in the second, sometimes in the third round. I'm not sure the value's there as a number one running back. Coming off 1,400 yards a year ago, I could see it realistically where he's an 800, 900 yard back. And I think it's something you got to keep in mind with Peterson. Everybody's taking for granted. All right, he might spend a game or two on the PUP list, get himself healthy, and then he'll be Adrian Peterson all over again. There's just a list of names: Jamal Anderson, Terrell Davis, Edgerrin James, Jamal Lewis, Deuce McAllister, Ronnie Brown. A lot of big guys, and every one of them struggled that first year back, no matter how much time they had in between. And it was the second full year of playing football, the second 16 games, where they really came back to their old selves.
No, I'm certainly not going to disagree with you. I was just trying to play devil's advocate there. It's,
well,
you
see,
know, a lot of guys are very high on Jamal Charles, and like that draft master draft we did a couple weeks ago, you know, I took him in the second round, but I took him as my second running back. I had Chris Johnson secured. I don't know if I would do that if, say, I had gone, say, whatever, Tom Brady in the first round or something like that. And, you know, I'm tending to agree with you. You have to approach these guys with a certain air of caution, I would think. And, you know, because, you know, like you said, Adrian Peterson is not just going to be, you know, come off the PUP list and all of a sudden he's Adrian Peterson again. Yeah, you know, I'm not arguing with you. I'm just trying to, you know, get people to think, you know, be cautious with these guys.
Yeah, and I think that's the point. You put it a lot better than I did. Had I done, to use your situation, I've got Chris Johnson or Ryan Matthews or somebody, or if you're picking high enough to get one of the Holy Trinity. If I got one of those guys, I'm loving coming back down and getting a guy like Jamal Charles, because here's a guy, look, who could prove you wrong. Good speed, shifty kind of guy, real determined. You know, I'm going to make the rest of the league feel my pain. Just to your point, you put it perfectly, as the number one back, if I go a Megatron or a Larry Fitzgerald or one of these quarterbacks in the first round, I think it is too much risk to have to hinge everything on him as your number one running back, and I think that's the point. If I could get him as my two, if I go with one of those big guys, one of those safer picks in the first, I'd take Charles without hesitation in the second or third round. I just can't go into the season knowing what I know now with this research with him as my number one, because let's be honest, you basically hinge every season on your number one running back.
Definitely. And for all you newcomers out there, don't go out and draft Peterson in your first round and Charles in your second, because you're going to be crying.
Sounds like a good idea, but I wouldn't try it.
Right. Okay, my bust running back, I am going to, right now he is going 12th pick in the first round. And that's Maurice Jones-Drew.
Yeah.
If this guy holds out, forget about him. I don't even want to touch him.
Yeah, I can't argue with that 100%. We've talked about it week after week. Go back to Steven Jackson 3 years ago. Look at Chris Johnson last year. If these guys hold out, especially at the running back position, I don't know why it is. If you're out of shape, if it's health, being out of game shape, not understanding the playbook, I don't know what it is, but there's so many examples. We talked about it with Bo with the receivers. It's more significant with the running back position. The longer this holdout goes on, I believe last year's Chris Johnson went right up through most people's draft weekend. It was a few days before the season started. Never did come together. Started to put together a little bit towards the end of the year. But, yeah, like I said with Bo, MJD is going to be on my no-touch rule no matter where I could grab him if this holdout goes on a whole lot longer.
Yeah, definitely. And just another thing for people to think about, bringing up the Chris Johnson holdout last year. He missed, of course, you know, they did have the lockout, so there really wasn't some other team workouts, which he probably wouldn't have showed up. But Johnson didn't show up to camp. Foster did. And everybody remembers he tweaked his hamstring in that preseason game. And everybody was cautious about drafting him. But there he was. He was in camp. He was in shape. He had that tweaked hamstring. And, you know, once he got it going, you know, once he got it back healthy, you know, he was like thunder and lightning out there. Johnson never got really into the flow of the game, it didn't seem like, until about week 10 or 11. And he didn't even have huge games then. You know, he had a 1,000-yard season, but he just never, you know, seemed like a number one running back. And that's one thing to think about. They missed camp. They've missed a lot.
Yeah, no question about it, especially a guy, again, you worry about them being in shape, a guy who touches the ball as many times as Jones-Drew does, the beating he takes, the 350, 360, 370 touches he's going to have. You need this camp. You need the contact. You need to be ready. And the longer this goes on, the more and more his value drops. I think no question about that.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. He has, what, 1,550 touches since 2007.
Yeah, so that's a concern in and of itself, let alone adding the holdout on top of it. So a couple big names there we're talking about. Let's jump in. I'll jump in with my first wide receiver. Here's a guy. Here's what I asked myself. I'll put it to you this way. Do you know, Rick, I have never seen the movie Titanic, not one time.
Well, that makes two of us.
Okay, good. And the reason I haven't is, well, number one, I sort of know how it's going to end.
It sinks.
Yeah, if you've gone to sixth grade, you know how the story ends. But number two is because everyone told me I have to watch it. It's the greatest thing ever. I have to watch it. And that's why I'm hoping I'm not making this decision based on that. That doesn't have anything to do with anything. But Brandon Lloyd, here's a guy going to New England. It sounds good. He had some success in Denver. Had one of the few guys, if not the only guy, who had any success in St. Louis last year. Here's a guy going into an offense with Gronkowski, with Welker, with even with a Deion Branch, with Hernandez. There's just not enough balls to go around. This guy's going to have his catches. He's going to find the end zone now and again. This guy being drafted as a low-end one or a solid number two receiver, I just, even in that prolific offense, I'll use New Orleans, or use New England as an example for how many years, other than 1 or 2 years with Randy Moss, never out of all the offensive success, outside of Welker, there has never been a high-end fantasy wide receiver come out of that team, and I'm feeling the same thing with Brandon Lloyd. He makes their NFL team better. I don't know how much better he's going to make your fantasy team.
Yeah, I'm not real high on him either. I mean, he's certainly no Randy Moss, that's for sure, and he's not the route runner that Wes Welker is. And, you know, there's a lot of competition and weapons in New England there. So, yeah, I mean, what? They got Wes Welker, Lloyd, they got Gronk, they got Hernandez, they got Jabbar Gaffney in there, pretty accomplished receiver. They got Dante Stallworth in there, showing flashes. So, yeah, are there going to be balls enough to go around to make him viable? No, I don't think so either. I agree with you.
Yeah, and it's just that. Look, guy's got some of the best hands I've ever seen, no question about it. It's just in that offense. You look at Chad Johnson, for all his, everything surrounding him, the guy is a Pro Bowl caliber, accomplished wide receiver. Couldn't even learn the offense, which isn't a concern with Lloyd, I'll grant you. He's played in that offense before. However, I just, for where I'm going to have to draft him, for where he's being drafted, for what's being spent on him in auctions, I just think the value is not going to be there. Would I love to have him as a low-end two or as a three? No question about it, but that's not what the price I'm going to have to pay to get him, so I'm avoiding Brandon Lloyd.
I agree, and the guy that I've got as a bust is kind of the same situation. Now, look, the upside on this guy is phenomenal, but right now he's currently going in the second round, and he's ahead of Roddy White, A.J. Green, Julio Jones, Greg Jennings, Victor Cruz, Brandon Marshall, and he's already got a pulled groin in camp. I'm not taking Andre Johnson in the second round ahead of those guys. I mean, Roddy White, really?
Yeah, excellent point. Here's a guy, same skill set, similar body type, prototype right next to Megatron is the kind of wide receiver you want on your fantasy squad, and for a lot of years was that guy. Unfortunately, in that amount of time, just racked up injuries after injury, and never a severe injury, and that's the problem. It's sort of the Darren McFadden argument as well. There are guys, you can't predict major injury, and it could happen to anybody. It's a one-hit league. They're all one hit away from taking that big injury. However, here's a guy, always something nagging, always something bugging him. Plus, being the only game in town in Houston, why wouldn't you triple cover this guy? And he's still going to get his catches in that situation, but there's nobody else you have to cover. You're watching Arian Foster, you're watching the tight end, and you're watching Andre Johnson. You can work everything to one side of the field with this team. all the skills in the world, and would he be falling into the third or fourth round, which I think his value is, I would jump all over him. But here's an early second round pick, and I agree with you 100%. And I'll tell you what, it's a mistake I think I made. We talk about that draft we did recently, the Fantasy Taz Draft Masters draft. I took him, I believe it was the second round, maybe it was the third, but I'm pretty sure it was the second, and I'm regretting it a little bit.
Yeah, and of course that was, you drafted him before he actually had that groin pull.
Yeah, he did it the next day, which is typical for me.
Yeah, of course. But, point well taken. I mean, even before the injury happened in camp, you know, you got to be very cautious, this guy. He missed 9 games last year. He missed, 3 games a year before that. Back in 07, he missed like 7 or 8 games. And one other point. You know, since 2007, his highest touchdown total in a year is 9. And it's not horrible, don't get me wrong. But when you're talking some of these elite receivers, your Calvins and that kind of, and, you know, like Cruz last year, you know, you're looking for some of these touchdown playmakers. And, you know, Johnson seems to be taking the beating on the field and not getting rewarded near as many times in the end zone either. But, you know, his injury risk to me far outweighs, you know, goes back to that tweet that I sent whenever it was we were talking. You know, Roddy White hadn't missed a game since 2007.
Yeah, and that's a huge stat there. And there's the thing, and to your point, again, talking value, he's going ahead of all those guys you listed, Roddy White being one of them. And I think that's where the concern, that's where the bust could be. Spending an early second-round pick on a guy like this when there's guys you know are going to finish the year and put up comparable, if not better, numbers going 10, 12, 16 picks after him. I can't argue with it.
Okay, so that takes us to, the tight end?
Yeah, the tight end. I'll start this one off, Rick. I think it's a name everyone knows. I don't think I'm breaking any ground here. I think last year was a harbinger of things to come. I'm avoiding with everything this year in the year following the year of the tight end. I'm avoiding Antonio Gates, and I'll tell you why. It's the injury thing. When healthy, the guys, you can't cover him. He's unstoppable. He gets in the red zone. You know it's going to him. You bracket 4 guys on him. It doesn't matter. He's going to find it. These foot injuries, they scare me. This guy's an old basketball player. So let's use some basketball players as examples. Yao Ming in Houston gets foot injuries, never comes back. Greg Oden, going to Portland, he gets these foot issues. These big guys with these foot issues can't seem to recover from them. They never truly go away. And I think after a fantastic, amazing career, revolutionized the modern era of the tight end position, you know, Gronkowski, Jimmy Graham, they all owe Antonio Gates a big thank you. But unfortunately, I think it's over for Antonio.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. You know, Gates has been awesome. There's no doubt about that. But I agree with that statement, no doubt. And my tight end, I just don't know. You know, I actually had Gronkowski. I can't see him duplicating those numbers as well. But another guy I think tight end-wise to avoid is Owen Daniels with the Texans. Certainly not one of these elite tight ends, but when you're talking about that type of value, there's tons of guys to get. Greg Olsen, Jared Cook, Brent Celek. You know, look, this guy has missed game after game every year. He missed half the season 2 years ago. He missed, you know, a third of the season 2 years ago. He missed games last year. His production keeps going down, and, you know, his yards are not – he had 677 yards last year, but, you know, that's down from his career high of 862 about 4 or 5 years ago. I just don't think that Houston's utilizing the tight end all that much, and he's not worth it.
Yeah, I mean, no question about it. You're looking for value. You're looking for that late guy to pick up. You know, probably a guy who would be drafted as a starter in that offense. And I think you made the perfect point when you look at it, a steady decline in his statistics. In a year last year with a backup quarterback for how long, they usually lean on their tight end. Your number one receiver's out 9 games last year. You'd think they'd lean on the tight end, yet his numbers continue to go down. So I don't know, maybe they use it more to block now for Arian Foster. I don't know what it is, but a guy, I think you can find better value. Go back to a Jermaine Gresham, some of these guys, a Jacob Tammy as a starting 12. I think this guy only has value as a backup at this point.
Yeah, just one other stat. I mean, 2009, he had 5 touchdowns playing in 8 games. 2010, he played 11 games, had 2 touchdowns. Last year, he played 15 games and had 3 touchdowns. They're just not going to the tight end in the red zone.
Yeah, no question about it, which is surprising in an offense like that, but that's the way it goes. So, wow, Rick, this flew by. We've already gone over time, put together a great list of booms and busts for 2012. I don't know why our listeners, every one of them, won't win their championships this year.
Because they'll think they know more than us.
Well, and chances are they're right.
Yeah, but maybe not.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to go ahead and get out of here. We're not going to do an extravaganza in the middle of the afternoon. Rick hasn't even had his 4 o'clock dinner yet, so we can't do that. So, thanks a lot for joining us. We sure appreciate it. We will be back Friday with breaking down the quarterbacks in the tight end position.
Yes, indeed. And special guest on Friday. And
all right.
Hope you join us.
All right, well, I think we lost Rick there. I don't know what happened. So until Friday at 8 o'clock, live on Blog Talk. If you have any questions, hit us up at asylumfootball@gmail.com. We'll see you.
You didn't lose me. You kept blasting me out of here. Take care. I got the cover off the 68. I fired it up and let them horses sing. A little pretty thing, a little tan leg Georgia dream. She's rocking them holy jeans. Baby, what you got going on Saturday? You know, word's got it, there's gonna be a party out of town about half a mile. Four-wheel drive and big mud ties. Must get down and wine. Oh, baby, you can find me in the back of a jacked-up tailgate, sitting around watching all these pretty things. Get down and out.